If someone were to come up to you and say, "Hi, how are you today?" what would your response be? Maybe 10 years ago, what would you expect people to say? "Fine, I'm good, I'm well, how are you?" Now, what do you hear more than that? Busy, tired, okay? And today we're going to talk about busyness and tired. You hear people say, "Busy, I'm so busy, I'm so crazy busy." And then you get two responses to that if they say that. You either get affirmation, something like, "Oh, that's a good problem to have," or "That's better than the opposite." Or you get the other side that's kind of the commiserating side of it and say, "Oh, tell me about it, we are too," or "I know, isn't it insane," or "Oh man, there's just not enough hours in the day." And you kind of get that take of it. So what is your typical response if someone says to you, "Hey, how are you doing today?" What do you say? And if someone responds to you and says, "I'm busy," how do you respond to them? You just kind of ignore it and keep moving on because you're just being polite? Or do you engage that conversation? Psalm 39:6 says this: "We are merely moving shadows, and all our busy rushing ends in nothing. Surely everyone goes around like a mere phantom. In vain they rush about, heaping up wealth without knowing whose it will finally be." The phrase "rush about" in that verse literally means to be in a stir or to be in commotion or to be turbulent or boisterous. So Scripture is telling us that rushing around and being busy leads to turbulence in our lives and turbulence in our relationships. And what's the point of that when life is so short and life does not have that importance that we put on it in some areas of our life? So why are we so busy? Why are you so busy? If I were to take a poll right now and ask you, "Why are you so busy?" I'd get a lot of different responses, I bet. The first reason that we're going to talk about why people say they're so busy is because many people feel that you have to be productive in society in order to have value. You must be producing something in order to have value. We get anxious and sometimes we feel guilty when we're just sitting and doing nothing, don't we? We've got to be working. We've got to be doing something to promote our work. We've got to be doing something and not just sitting, because sitting is just a waste of time. People don't generally feel good about just sitting and resting. The busyness gives us reassurance that, hey, my life has meaning because I'm doing something today. My life can't be silly or trivial or meaningless if I'm so busy, right? If I'm completely booked and if I'm in demand every hour of the day, that means my life has value and I'm doing good things. The journal Science did a study and they put someone in a room for 15 minutes. And they just left them in the room for 15 minutes. At the end of that 15 minutes, they would ask each person if they liked it or not. And as you can imagine, over half of them disliked sitting in a room by themselves with nothing to do for 15 minutes. Now, in subsequent studies, they gave the participants an electric shock while they were in the room. And they asked them, "Would you pay money for us to not shock you again?" How many of you would pay money so that they would not shock you again? Okay. As you can imagine, most of them said, "Yes, I will pay money so you do not shock me again." Now, what's interesting is when the same people were left in the room, they voluntarily chose to shock themselves so that they could get out of the room faster. They did not want to sit in the room for 15 minutes. They chose to shock themselves. They would rather shock themselves and cause pain to themselves than to sit and do nothing. Would you do that? I guess it depends on how shocking the electricity was, right? Now think about this. If next Sunday you come in, and we're going to say it's not Children's Sunday, and I said to you, "For the next 15 minutes when I came up for my message, we are going to sit here and just sit and just be with each other. Turn to a partner and tell them what you would think of me at that point, or what you would think of yourself if we did that next week. Turn to someone near you and tell them, how would you react? Come back next week and find out. So what did you come up with? That I forgot. I was too busy that week, right? What? That wouldn't be the first time someone told me that. Right. No electronics. Yeah, no electronics, no sleeping. Yeah. Okay. So in addition to feeling like that would be a waste of time for most of us, we'd be like, what are we doing here? We could be doing 1,000 other things than just sitting here. So that's one reason why we want to be busy. We want to be productive. We want to feel productive. We want to feel like our lives have value. But in addition to wanting to feel productive, we also kind of think that being busy is kind of a privilege. It's kind of a good thing. It's kind of a little bit of a badge of honor, if you will. Because being busy kind of makes us puff our chest up a little bit. We're kind of happy that we're busy. One author says this about it. She says, the art of busyness is to convey genuine alarm at the pace of your life and a helpless resignation, as if someone else is setting the clock, and yet simultaneously make it clear that you are completely on top of your game. So you want the world to know that you are crazy busy, out of control busy, but you've got it handled. It's under control. And because you're handling all this busyness, that makes you feel good. We kind of brag about it in a sense. And when you brag about something, it gives you the same pleasure sensation that you derive from food or from money. Now, if you brag about how much money you have, or brag about how good of food you just ate or something like that, or the possessions you have, society kind of frowns on that, right? We're like, don't be bragging. But society is pretty okay with you bragging about how busy you are. It's pretty all right if you want to say, oh, I can't believe I'm so busy. That's okay. The new status symbol, I would argue, is not the kind of car you drive, not the kind of watch you have on your wrist, but how busy are you? How hard is it for people to reach you? How long do people have to wait to get an appointment with you? Do you have any time to do anything for fun? Think about the last time you told someone that you were busy. Did you feel bad that you said that, or did you feel like, hey, I'm busy? And that goes back to the first thing, I have value. I'm busy, what are you doing with your life? I'm working. How does viewing yourself as busy affect your life? Princeton did this study, and they wanted to find out what conditions good people would act for good or be helpful in. And so they took a group of theology students, and they told them at one in their classroom, they said, we want you to walk to this other building on campus, and we want you to give a speech, a short speech, and they gave them two topics. Half of the group was going to do the topic on the Good Samaritan, and half of the people were going to do the topic of why they are studying theology. Now, the Good Samaritan, of course, is the story where the guy's walking by, and two guys walk by, the priest and another guy walk by, and they don't help him, but then the other Samaritan comes, who's not supposed to have anything to do with the Jewish guy, and he helps him. That's the Cliff Note version. Okay? And so they wanted to see which topic would motivate them to do things. To think, if you have that in the top of your brain, the Good Samaritan story, is that going to help you prod to do good? So they put an actor in between the path between the two buildings who was in obvious bad shape. He was hunched over. He was coughing. He was definitely in need of some help. Then they told the group, they told half the group, that they were running late to their speech. And they told half the group that they had plenty of time to get to the auditorium. Now, what do you think their responses were? Who do you think was most likely to help? Those thinking about the Good Samaritan, or those thinking about their motives for studying theology? Well, there was, it's kind of a trick question, because there was a difference between groups, but it had nothing to do with the content of their speech. It did not matter if they were studying the Good Samaritan or talking about why they were studying theology. Their rate of stopping was the same. The difference was how rushed the students felt. If they felt they were late to the speech, only 10% stopped, regardless of the topic of the speech. If they felt that they had ample time to get to the next speech, 60% stopped. Busyness is a sickness, and it causes us to miss opportunities for ministry and for life. The American Psychological Association published its Stress in America survey. They've done this every year since 2007. And they said that the majority of Americans recognize that their stress levels exceed levels necessary to maintain good health. And when they ask, well, why are you doing that then? What's the reason that you're exceeding your levels? The answer is almost always, I'm too busy to do anything else. One doctor said, in the past few years, I've observed an epidemic of sorts, patient after patient suffering from the same condition. The symptoms of this condition include fatigue, irritability, insomnia, anxiety, headaches, heartburn, bowel disturbances, back pain, and weight gain. There are no blood tests or x-ray diagnostics of this condition, and yet it's easy to recognize. The condition is excessive busyness. It's not just stress, it's busyness. Occupational environmental medicine did a study, and they said that the more hours a person works in the day, the more likely they're going to have illnesses and injury. Now, they're not talking about work-related injury, because at first I read this, well, yeah, if you're working more, you have a better chance of getting hurt, right? But this is not what they're talking about. They said that those who work 12 hours a day experience a 37% increase in risk compared to those who work fewer than 12 hours a day. The risks that they studied were hypertension, cardiovascular disease, fatigue, stress, depression, chronic infections, and diabetes, just to name a few. Guys, idleness and rest is not just a vacation, it's not just an indulgence, it's not just a vice. It's an indispensable part of being human. Just as vitamin D is essential to the brain and to the body, rest is essential for us. When we're deprived of rest, when we're so busy that we can't slow down, we suffer it mentally, physically, and spiritually. Now, the language that we use about how busy we are or how full our life is makes a difference. A researcher by the name of Anne Burnett studied how the language we use helps create our reality. Since the 1960s, she has created and collected hundreds of Christmas cards and holiday cards that people have written. And she's noticed over the years, the rise of certain words and phrases have come into our Christmas letters. Words like hectic, whirlwind, consumed, crazy, hard to keep up with it all, on the run, way too fast. And even more recently, they've gotten even busier, and those words come up even more and more. Like this one that I thought was very interesting that she received. This Christmas letter said, I'm not sure whether writing a Christmas letter when I'm working at the speed of light is a good idea, but given the amount of time I have to devote to any single project, it's the only choice I have. We start every day at 4:45 a.m., launch ourselves through the day at breakneck speed. The experience is much like sticking your head in a blender. Only to land in a crumpled heap at 8:30 p.m. looking something like the Halloween witch's impaled spread eagle on front doors, wondering how we made it through the day. For this person, being busy sounds like a good thing, because you're not going to write about something that you think people are going to think bad about you for in your Christmas letter. This is like a badge of honor. This person is actually kind of proud. We're doing it. We're making it through. We're busy. Now, how would you respond and how would you think about that family if you got that Christmas card letter from one of your friends or family members? How would you react? What would you think about them? Feel sorry for them? That they don't spend much time together? Not getting a lot of quality time? Yeah. Now, if we think about busyness, we need to differentiate between the two types of busyness. The first is the type of busyness that we have no control over. Busyness without control. This is something that primarily affects at-risk families and low-income families. Because they have to work two or three low-paying jobs just to keep the family afloat, put the food on the table. If you add kids to the mix, it just causes the stress to be overwhelming. And that causes legitimate health problems. And in these cases, they're not necessarily busy. They're tired. They're exhausted. They're at the end of their rope. The second type of busyness is the one that we're talking about today, the busyness we control. This also results in health problems, but it's a sickness that we bring on ourselves. One author likens it to voluntarily licking the door handle of a preschool bathroom, or having a sweaty picnic in the ball pit at Chuck E. Cheese. Now, you may say, wait a minute, now, I'm not purposely being busy all the time. This is not my doing. But really, let's talk and think about it. We have chosen our jobs. We have chosen our extracurricular activities. We have chosen the things that we are going to do with our time. And we've done that voluntarily, or with the urging of your spouse. Now, the lines between work and home have become very blurred. We're on our devices or on our phones all the time. We get emails and messages that go straight to our phone. And even if we're in leisure time, even if we're playing with the kids or watching TV or doing whatever that we're doing for fun, we hear the ding from the Facebook message. We hear the swoosh from that the email's in, and what do? We go check it. What's the expected response time when you send an email to someone or a Facebook message to someone? Immediate. If you don't hear for a couple hours, what do you think? They're dead? All right, well, maybe. You think that you go back and check your sent mail folder? Like, did I really send that email that I thought? And then on Facebook, you check because it shows you if they've read it or not. There's a little check mark. Like, did they read this yet? And then if they read it, then what? You're like, oh, gosh, they're just ignoring me. They're not processing this. They're not thinking about this. They don't have other things to do. But we want our response now. We want it immediate. Because why? Because we're busy. And we need to know. And we need to know now. So, do you think that we voluntarily create this stress and busyness in our lives with busyness that we can control? Or do you think that the busyness that we have in our lives is out of our control? Go back to your partners and answer that question. Do you think that that's true, that we create most of the busyness ourselves, like the author is suggesting? Or is it mostly just out of control busyness, we can do nothing about it? What do you think? All right. Well, by studying time diaries, and that's where people go through and keep track. Every 15 minutes, they write down what they're doing. Even though we would say that we are out of control busy, we are actually working less as a people than we did in the 1960s or the 1980s. Every advanced economy in the world is working considerably fewer hours on average than it used to. In the U.S., we work less, both at the office and at home. Between 1965 and 2011, the time spent on housework and childcare for women declined by 35%, which is the equivalent of 15 hours a week, thanks to things like dishwashers, TVs, and other appliances that assist the work at the home. So why do we create this stress? Why do we voluntarily sign up for so many things? Why do we do this thing? Why do we feel like we're stressed? The first suggestion is the irony of abundance. If you want something, what are you going to do? Go out and get it. There's nothing stopping you unless you don't have the money, right? If you're hungry and you want food, what do? You go to the fridge or you go to Sonic or you do whatever. You go get food. If you want to watch TV, though, what do when you have 10 shows that you want to watch or catch up on? Okay, you binge watch or you DVR it. But then, it's hard to choose what do I watch live, what do I binge watch, what do I watch on the DVR. And same thing with restaurants. Like, I really wanted to go to this restaurant or this restaurant or this restaurant. I can't go to all three at once. How am I going to ever decide? So many choices. How will I ever decide? And so you create this sense of urgency and this busyness. Like, oh, my kid doesn't know how to play the piano. He's not doing good at soccer. He's struggling with spelling. What am I going to do? I've got all three things to do. And so rather than looking at them individually and working on them individually, you take them all at once and you get overwhelmed and you start to feel busy. And that is the irony of abundance. We get guilty and we get anxious about the limits of our time, and we get anxious about our capacity to use that time effectively. Now, the second one is one we've already talked about a little bit, the fluidness of work and leisure. We answer work emails when we're at home watching TV. We check Facebook while we're at work. I know some of you do because you're posting during work hours. I'm looking at you. Just kidding. Sort of. On one hand, the flexibility is nice, right? To have that flexibility. But on the other side of that, it creates this always-on expectation that makes it really hard for you to step away from work. And if you work at home, that even is harder to step away from work. If you own your own business, it's really hard then to step away from work. The third reason that we create this busyness is the curse of wealth. People in higher paying jobs feel like their time is more valuable because they're paid more for their time. And so they feel pressure to maximize that free time that they use so that they're not wasting it. If that one's true, then it means that the more you get paid, the more anxiety you're going to feel when you're spending the money and enjoying it and having fun. So what are some solutions? First off, we can change our vocabulary. A guy, John Robinson, who studied this, said that he doesn't tell us to meditate, take more vacations, or breathe, or walk in nature, or anything like that, that will just feel like something that will be added to our to-do list. The answer to feeling oppressively busy, he says, is to stop telling yourself that you're oppressively busy. Because the truth is that we're a lot less busy than we think we are. Our consistent insistence that we're busy tells our brain over and over all day long, I'm busy, I'm busy, I'm busy, I'm busy. And so to stop that tape from playing, you need to stop saying the words, I'm busy, I'm busy, I'm busy, I'm busy. What would happen if you eliminated the word busy from your vocabulary? Even if that's how you were feeling, what if you said, my life is pretty full right now? That's one way you could say it without putting that B word in there. So instead of adding something to your to-do list, we're taking something off of our to-do list, and that is we're going to take off the task of telling everyone how busy we are. The second solution would be to ask about the heart. In many Arab countries, instead of saying, hi, how are you, like we say in America, their literal translation of what they're saying is, how is your heart doing at this very moment, at this breath? Now, how does that change the conversation if you say, how are you doing at this very moment? Is that what people are really asking you when they say, hi, how are you? How are you doing today? More of a rhetorical question, just polite. Sometimes, just a few weeks ago, someone asked me, how are you doing? And I told them, well, actually today, not very good. It was like I hadn't said a thing. The person then just got into their conversation about what they wanted to talk to me about to begin with. Like, okay, well, glad you really cared, right? Now, on the flip side, I said that to a couple guys just this last week or two, and they responded by saying, wow, is there anything I can do to help take some of that load off? Now, how does that affect you when someone says that? It makes you feel good, right? Because first, you know that they really care about you, that they really wanted to know the answer to that question. And second, you know that you're not in this alone. There are people willing to help you if you would just ask. Another solution to this is to really schedule your leisure time. and make sure that your leisure time is specifically for leisure. Put the phone away, put the everything away, turn off the computer, and spend quality time with the people that you love. Spend quality time in prayer. Spend quality time in Bible study. Set aside that time. And it's going to be hard to set it aside, but you can do it. You just have to look at what's important. We need real times of rest and relaxation. And rest is something that God does not suggest that we have. It is something that God says, you need this in your life. You need rest. The first rest that God tells us about is when he rested after creating the world. If God himself needed to rest after creating the world, we probably should take that example and rest as well. The second way that he's shown us rest is important is he's created the seventh day of the week called the Sabbath, when we are supposed to rest. In addition to telling us about the rest on earth that we should be taking, he promises that heaven, the future reward that we're all looking toward by following him, is going to be a time of rest. Psalm 91 says, those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Even in Bible times, people were busy. And you think, how could they be busy? But they were. Jesus addressed it. They were stressed out about things. Even in Bible times, 2,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, they were still stressed. This is what it says in Ecclesiastes. Some people work wisely with knowledge and skills, then must leave the fruit of their efforts to someone who hasn't worked for it. This too is meaningless, a great tragedy. So what do people get in this life for all their hard work and anxiety? Their days of labor are filled with pain and grief. Even at night, their minds cannot rest. It is all meaningless. So I decided there is nothing better than to enjoy food and drink and to find satisfaction in work. Then I realized that these pleasures are from the hand of God, for who can eat and enjoy anything apart from him? Everything we do, we need to be thinking about, this is a gift from God. And how am I using this time the way God intended? And God did not intend us to be busy and running and stressed out all the time. Jesus addressed the busyness of his culture specifically. He said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you what? More stress? Rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. If you're busy and stressed and don't know where to turn, turn to the one person who promises rest, and that is Jesus. And you do that by following him with your whole heart. If you don't choose to follow Christ, the author of Hebrews says that the punishment for disobedience is they will never enter my place of rest. So if you want to feel stressed and frazzled for all eternity, then ignore Christ and don't follow him, because that's what you have to look forward to. You're going to never find true and satisfying rest apart from Jesus. I actually heard someone say once that they are really concerned about going to heaven because they don't want to just simply sit on clouds and play harps all day in heaven. So, the harps and clouds part aside, how much has our culture indoctrinated us that you have to be doing something all the time that we actually don't want to rest even when we get to heaven? That's just insane. God has created us to work, but he has also created us to rest. So what is your well-being worth to you? How do you like the way your hectic lifestyle is making you feel? Take some time to examine how you're living, how your stress, how your busyness is affecting your relationships with one another and your relationship with God. Try to think of the day in a new way. Think about what's truly important. I ran across this quote David Leviathan said, if you start the day reading the obituaries, you live your day a little differently. I want to leave you with that thought. How will you choose to live differently? How will you choose to live a less busy life? It is possible, and it is the way that God intended us to live. Will you pray with me? God, our Father, we just thank you that you have given us your word. We thank you for the ways that you have taken care of us and blessed us. God, I pray that we would not see this message of finding rest in you as a burden, God, but see it as an opportunity. See it as an opportunity to trust in you fully and to allow you to work in our lives and to help us to make priorities and decisions to help us find rest in you. We ask and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Kevin Daniels at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.